Well, I think if I was a warg, I'd put myself in Hodor and have my way with Osha the Wildling.
Well, he is pretty hung.
Oh, big time. I know that's a prosthetic. It's been proven. We all know it's not a real hoarder hung. But no. Damn. A man can dream.
No, but I think first, though, you'd have to go to Peter Baelish and Podrick to get some tips.
Oh.
Then go for the boning.
Amen. He's the greatest lover in Westeros next to Podrick.
Yeah, those two put everyone else to shame, evidently.
Apparently. Put their dicks together, you got two dicks.
And evidently, that's all you need.
And that's all you need.
Yeah.
But I would say another solid episode for this season, which is really getting the meat and potatoes of the books out in the open. I really enjoyed it. I like this season a lot. There's some good stuff in here.
Yeah, first of his name, the fifth episode of season 4.
That means it's halfway over.
I know. I'm so sad.
It's crazy.
I'm so sad. But, yeah, it was a good episode. I think some people refer to it as being filler, but I would disagree.
I don't understand how any of these episodes could be filler because it's fucking 10 episodes. There's not a lot
right.
of time.
They don't have, like, 13 episodes to stretch it out. They've got...
Yeah.
They're very limited for what they can do.
We didn't have a episode where it's basically two people prancing around talking about something that's not related to the plot and future storylines, because everything pretty much is going into next season storylines. What they're talking about, the shit that they bring up, it's all for the entirety of the story.
Yeah, they really set up stuff even for season 5 with Margaery and Cersei.
Well, do you think that they're setting that up for next season? Do you think we're going to see that whole storyline from Feast of Crows in next season?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
That's going to get rough, but...
That's going to get rough, but you like the mocha-colored women.
Well, that's not really featured in that particular storyline, but...
Yeah, it is. What's her name? Aaliyah. The chick that is with Sir Oakenheart or whatever his name is. What was
right,
his name?
Right, but that's a little distant from the Cersei Margaery storyline.
Well, I mean, you got the best of both worlds.
It's true. No, I liked the Cersei Margaery interaction though.
That was pretty good. It gave Cersei some humanity.
It definitely added some depth, and I think showed that. Initially, right now, she isn't just this villainous type character. Like, she does have some heart, and she isn't immediately looking to bury this woman. Like, that
right.
will come over time, I'm sure, but it will come with some reason and with some development. She's just not Machiavellian in her approach to this.
You know, and do you think the writers are going to be lowbrow enough to have the line where Margaery's with Tommen in his room with the cat, and she's going to say, "You could play with my pussy"? Do you think they'd be that lowbrow?
Well, I don't know. Is Robert Orci?
So.
Is Robert Orci writing an episode, or is he?
Robert Orci and Alex Kurtzman are writing an episode, it would be about 9/11 conspiracy. As a result of Joffrey's death, and that Tyrion's blood can save the White Walkers.
I was waiting for that. The blood reference. You gotta have that.
Yes.
Gotta have the blood.
You know, that's too good. That's too much of a good idea. It would be something way stupid. Like, Bran's blood would bring dragon eggs back to life. Something stupid. That's something that they do.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I like that, though.
Yeah, that's better.
I'm writing it right now.
Write that down, Orci
Kurtzman.
Yeah. I don't understand.
It'll be a long episode, though.
But it was an episode where you had to say goodbye to one of our favorite new additions, which was Locke, Noah Taylor. He got his neck busted in two by Hodor.
That was a little confusing because I was trying to figure out. I watched it twice. I was trying to figure out. So he snapped the bones, and the bones like popped out of the skin. Is that it, or?
No, I think he basically twisted his head completely around, and that's just the after effect of his head being basically turned into a swivel.
I was sad to see him go, though, because he...
Yeah, it was too bad.
He was growing on me, and I thought Noah Taylor was doing a nice job with him. I mean, he wasn't the redemptive character we see in a lot of these bad guys, but he was cool. I think he had a cool sort of swagger to him that I liked.
Well, it's just unfortunate that he's like a byproduct of a brand storyline. It's kind of like, oh, that sucks. I wish there was more to him than that, but whatever, he's gone.
Yeah, I kind of wish that maybe they took that a little bit further, because it just sort of seemed like they cut it a little too soon with that story.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, the brand stuff, the book is way more in-depth, because we got to know Jojen and Marine way better because they were actually at Winterfell for the majority of the book.
Yeah.
And they were with, because the Freys were there, the cousins of the Freys were there, and they were like little assholes. And I mean, there's a ton of shit in the books that's not in the show, obviously. And now the show is starting to take left turns. And one of the big issues that I think were big reveals for the book and the show is the Cold Hands reveal, because there's a lot of theories about what and who Cold Hands is, and they've pretty much put the kibosh on he's the Night's Watch King or whatever, that guy. That's not happening anymore.
Well, yeah, it's definitely not the Night's King or the Night's,
no,
whatever his name is. I still think Benjen Stark is a good possibility.
But they were saying, Colt, but that's the thing, Benjen Stark doesn't feature into the books anymore. He kind of disappeared. But a lot of people have a theory that Benjen Stark is actually going sailing to Daenerys to be with her, which I don't understand where that came from. I guess he went the back way to get to Meereen or whatever. And other people say that Cold Hands is just some random dead Night's Watchman that has no bearings on the show or the book at all, so he's not really a major character to worry about. He's sort of just, he's done. He's played his part in the book, and he's done.
I don't know. I lean towards the Benjen Stark story idea, and regardless of that comes to fruition or has a real part to play, I think it's a neat idea, and that's why I like that one.
Yeah, I do too, but you know that they were talking about, you know, the theories, and one of the theories was Benjen Stark, but one of the issues people were having with that was that there's a line where the Children of the Forest tell Bran that Cold Hands was a Night's Watchman from way back. So for the Children of the Forest to say, oh, that's a guy that was a Night's Watchman, you know, a while ago, that's like fucking 10,000 years or some shit, because the Children of the Forest are like, you know, 200,000 years old.
Oh, okay, all right. I just
like, so it couldn't be Benjen because he's too recent.
Right, right. Yeah, I still feel like though there has to be some closure for Benjen at some.
There has to be. I feel like he might be the Deus Ex Machina that comes in the last book and saves the day. That a Stark saves the day, ultimately.
Well, he could be, I forget the name of it, this place, but if you remember in the last book, Jon Snow, he was going to go to some sort of port.
The wall. That's where Davos is going.
Okay, well, maybe that's where Benjen is, I don't know. I mean, that's just...
No, because that's where Rickon is. Rickon is going there with Osha.
Isn't he on the island of cannibals, or is that...
Something like that. Rickon and Osha go that way, and they're on an island. I guess Davos is going to go save Rickon at the fifth book, I think. Isn't that what happens? I can't remember.
Well, but there's also this like port with all these women and children there, and like Jon Snow wanted to sail there to get them all. before the White Walkers came down.
Oh, okay. Is that what happened? I can't even remember.
And they didn't want like waste resources on that, so it was a big debate.
That's what is that one of the reasons they stab them? Spoiler alert.
Well, this is really for people who read the books, I think, at this point, this podcast.
Fuck everybody else.
I think so, yeah, because there was this, because that's one of the things that is, they don't really care about anyone north of the wall, and they're tired of everyone coming down, so they don't want to waste time trying to pick up all these women and children who are up there.
But there could be, like, some prime ass.
Oh, exactly. I mean, Carl.
I mean, shit.
Carl
come on
and Rast would love that place. They'd be all,
oh, man.
They'd be there in a heartbeat.
Well, he's dead.
Yeah, and he got a great death, too, I thought.
Yes, that was really cool. That was a fun, violent moment for Game of Thrones.
As there are many, and I appreciated the closure with Craster's Keep as well at the end of the episode.
Yeah, they burn it down. They totally destroy it. That's pretty good. Because you didn't really have that in the book. It just sort of...
No.
You never hear what... Because basically what happens is... Look, you said Cold Hands kills everybody, or White Walkers killed everybody at Craster's Keep?
I believe it was Cold Hands. He kills everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, it gives John something to do, and it gives Bran, Jojen, Marie, whatever her name is, something to do.
Who cares?
So, I mean, I get it for the show purpose. Like, you have to do those things to keep the action to keep going. But let's go. I mean, that's fine, whatever. But I want to get to the Hound and the Arya scene. That was pretty damn solid.
Yeah,
they're always the
scenes.
Best part.
Yeah. Those were standout scenes. Especially the second one. The first one was a little predictable. You could see where it was going. But the second scene where she's practicing her water dancing and he just rips her a new one is spectacular.
Yeah.
It's so well written, and the characters by this point feel so incredibly defined that their relationship is just spot on.
Yeah, and I don't know how they're going to get rid of those two. I guess it's going to be like in the book, he gets sick and she just leaves him because he's too weak to keep him with him. I don't know. I don't understand what's going to happen there.
That is something I wonder, because, I mean, obviously the scene in the book has already happened and he lived. So there's no question there.
I mean, right, yeah. It.
So...
Yeah. Well, then again, that asks the question... You know, how far in the books does David Benioff and D.B. Weiss know? Because apparently they must know a lot, because they're really divulging some big stuff in the show that's not even in the books. I mean, they're getting into some pretty, pretty big reveals, considering that the last two books aren't even out yet.
Well, and here's a theory for you.
Uh-oh.
No, okay. Because in this Hound Arya scene, where he's again giving her more life lessons, he expressly says that Syrio is dead. Now, is that the writers trying to tell the audience that, look, stop asking, he is dead?
Oh, maybe.
Like, this is official, this is canon, the guy's no longer alive.
Sure.
Because here's why, idiots.
Because the Hound saw him die? Is that what it is?
No, what I'm saying is, like, the Hound is making these great points of, like, look, the guy didn't have a sword. He didn't have any armor on. Just because you didn't see it doesn't mean he's alive. The guy is dead.
Well, and again, maybe they're setting that up, that he'll come, he'll be a reveal to train her in, or he'll be like, there'll be a little aside moment where she gets taken into the house of the what's it called?
The Faceless Men.
Faceless Men, and maybe he's there, and he like initially takes her in, but you don't realize it's him until it's dramatic irony. She doesn't know it's him, but the audience knows.
Maybe
that'll happen. I feel like they would throw something like that in. And also, one of the big theories going around now is the reason they recasted. What's his name? Dario Naharis or whatever his name is.
Yeah, you got it, yeah.
He looks like an islander. An iron islander. And this seems to be the new theory, that he is actually Euron Greyjoy, and that the events in Book 3 actually happened before the events of Book 4, which kind of makes sense in a way. Because he likes to do that. He goes back and forth through time a lot, that Martin, in his books. You realize that?
He does, yeah.
So it's possible that this guy, because he kind of comes out of nowhere. He's a second son or whatever.
Right.
But we don't really know who he is before that point. And Martin has a way of, like, you're with these characters for, like, a book, and then he reveals who they really are. It happens a few times, I think, in the books.
Personally, I lean towards no, though, on that one.
Interesting thought. It is
an interesting theory. I'm going to lean towards no, but I like the theory, though.
It's interesting. I don't know. Someone brought that up, and that's the new internet rumor that's just spreading like wildfire.
Yeah, wildfire is popular.
That it is.
And Peter Baelish, we haven't touched on that yet. He had a few
deliciously
greasy scenes, which I loved.
Oh, he was, and he, I love the scene with Lisa Aaron, who's just so creepy. I love that actress. She does such a great job with that character.
Just her look alone is creepy, and then her delivery only adds to it, but she's great.
And is it just me, or does her boobs look smaller than the last time we saw her?
Well, I guess he's not sucking
for her
teeth, maybe. So
she's not lactating anymore.
Yeah, so she's done. Yeah.
No, I want to. And how about the little bitch Robin threw Peter Baelish's bird toy down the moon door, little fucker?
Well, I don't know. I get the feeling Peter Baelish doesn't really care.
So no, he probably wants to throw the little bastard down the hole.
Yeah. But and I love that reveal, too, with Lisa or Lysa or whatever.
Lysa, right. Yeah.
That's
the other thing. That happens at the end of the book, and they did it right away. Like, in the very first scene you see them together, she essentially gives everything away.
Right, and I think it's great, too, because I feel like there's been such a build-up, and almost people have forgotten about that, too, just since season one. That's, like, one of the first shots of seeing that guy get those stones over his eyes.
Right, and that's essentially Peter Baelish is responsible for setting the events into motion that is essentially the entire story of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, everything that has happened is because of him.
That letter is basically what got Ned Stark killed. What got everybody killed.
Yeah, the poison. Everything just starts with him.
Which is pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah, it's
And Varys is essentially picking up the pieces.
Yeah, he has his own agenda. He wasn't in this episode. He's got a lot going on, though. So.
He was in the episode. He was in the background. He was,
right. He was
heading to the king.
The
he gave a little nod to the king.
Yeah. That is true. Oh, and I liked also particularly the scene with Cersei and Tywin.
Yes, that was good, too. I'm always glad to say, you know, we only got 5 more episodes of Charles Dance, so I want to get as much of him as I possibly can.
Oh, agreed. And what I particularly liked was how Cersei was sort of taking ownership of the Lannister name. It's like,
yes.
You know, Jaime's not good enough for it. Tyrion isn't good enough for it. It's her. She's the one who's going to carry this legacy forward.
Yeah.
And she's going to try and prove it. And that's what's going to be a big part of the show going forward, is her attempts to prove her worth as a Lannister.
Right.
And I like that we're seeing that set up now, and hopefully watch as that progresses, as sort of Tywin's indoctrination of what he perceives as sort of the things to do and how to keep the legacy of family going, and I don't know, just like how he works, how now she wants to sort of take over that mantle and translate his actions and make those into her own, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
So,
and well, she's really doing you got to give credit to Lena Headey, or Headey, whatever the fuck her name is.
Yeah.
She's really made this character her own. And in the books, you never really feel anything for Cersei in the books. I don't really have any connection to her, really. She's kind of filler for me, especially in book four.
Yeah, I will say book four, when I saw that she had so many POV chapters, personally, I was excited because I thought we'd see much more development in her character, you know, along the lines of a Jaime or someone like that. Maybe not quite as redemptive, but similar. And instead, it's just like most of that was dedicated to that flashback she keeps having.
Yes.
And all the sycophants try and, like, kiss up to her and stuff like this. And it's just, like, not really what I was hoping for.
Ultimately. It was a lot of her just bitching about how her small council is a bunch of morons. And they basically fuck her in the end.
Right.
And she's pointless. It's just pointless to have her. But I mean, they do make callbacks to the book too with those chapters, because isn't the woman whose daughter was raped 100 times on the King's Road coming back when they took Margaery away to Dorne? Remember that?
No, actually.
There's a character where she's raped a bunch of times, so she's like all fucked up in the head. And she basically, because it was a parade of all these royals going back to the Red Keep, and they get attacked by the people because they're starving.
Right. I remember that.
That whole scene. Yeah. But that was part that was a whole other character that we don't have in the show. I don't remember her name though, but I think her mother's on her council, and she's like nuttier than a fruitcake. There's a lot of like Fellini-esque characters on the council that I'd like to see visually, but I think for the show to function, they could just show these people on there, like this motley crew of idiots, and just pretty much in a single scene illustrate how fucked Cersei is. You don't need to go into detail on everything, because you don't have Peter Baelish anymore, you don't have Varys, and you don't even have Maester Pycelle. She has all these new people on the council when she's basically ruling for Tommen, because Charles Dance is gone. Tywin is dead. She's pretty much the only one in charge left.
Right. Yeah, in the show, though, I think she's definitely more of a dimensional character.
Right.
Because, like, her scene with Oberyn, I thought was great. Just the way that it really defined her, sort of her helplessness with her children.
Yeah, this was a Cersei-heavy episode.
But I liked it, though, because sometimes I'm not a big fan of seeing it too much, but this was one where I thought it really kind of defined her character in a lot of ways. You know, like with Margaery and sort of her helplessness there with her children, which comes back with Oberyn as well, and then her desire to kind of function as the head of the Lannister family. And
yes.
But yeah, you definitely felt sympathy for her. You know, she can't handle Joffrey, but she loves him, and she misses her daughter, which I thought was touching, and the ship and everything, which I wonder if the ship will come back into play later.
Well, that's why I'm thinking that's what they were doing, that's the ship that they're trying to get on to escape Dorne. Remember that scene? So I'm curious. I think that's probably what they are setting up. And I mean, I don't know, at the end of that, I mean, would that be an episode 8 occurrence? Because it's a pretty big character for that season, and then he gets whacked right away on the boat. Kind of unceremoniously. He's just like taken out, and that's it. He's done.
What, the Oakenheart guy? Or?
Yeah.
Well, you mean next season, episode 8?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Next season, episode 8. Would it be earlier, you would think? Would that be how they go down?
Well, Cersei has some reaction to that, I believe. She has some sort of, I don't know, she gets annoyed or whatever, I don't know.
She gets annoyed. Well, no, she doesn't know. I don't think she finds out, because Mara, what's her name? Maricela gets hurt. She gets stabbed. She gets like her head cut up.
Yeah,
remember,
like
she gets wounded.
Like,
yeah. So she's wounded, and they keep that a secret. Nobody knows about it.
True. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I'm just thinking, because in the show, they're definitely allowing word to travel very, very fast.
Yeah.
Joffrey dies in...
Yes.
What was it, episode 2, or...?
Right, yeah, episode 2. It's already at Marine.
Yeah, by episode 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5, they're totally aware of that he gets killed, so...
Well, shit.
And that's a scene to talk about, too. Because this is the scene where Dany's storyline really grinds to a halt.
Right.
There are some politics here and there, but that's where John's storyline, with this added bit with Craster's Keep, gives me hope that they'll find ways to make Dany's storyline entertaining.
Well, I'm sure they will, yeah, because pretty much in the third book, she's like, that's the last chapter, essentially, she's staying.
Right.
Like, that was the last Dany chapter. But she gets rid of Jorah before that.
Right, yeah, she does. And another thought I had, too, was how is that going to happen? Because it's Ser Barristor in the, or Semley or whatever, in the books, who confides what his true purpose there.
Right.
Initially, anyway. And I think for him to do it now in the show seems a little conniving and a little too plotty for him. Like, I don't see that in his character to sort of just be like, well, I got to get rid of this guy.
Well, and also in the books, they had the prophecy with Daenerys, which was, you're going to lose a love to this, you're going to lose a love to gold, you're going to lose a love to... They said, like, you'll lose three loves,
right,
or
yeah,
whatever. And they never even mentioned that in the show, so I wonder... I think it would be as simple as basically Barrister telling her what he did. I think he already knows that he's a turncoat, or was.
Oh, I think he does.
He knows, but I think ultimately, I mean, like in the books, I'm sure he's going to tell her, and she'll just throw him out at that point. But there's got to be a reason. There's probably going to be, for the show, it would have to be sort of a moment where he does something that causes a problem. So I think he must fuck up really badly. And somebody must die. So maybe if somebody dies, maybe that chick dies, the slave girl, the hottie. What's her name?
Missandei or Missandei or something?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
The curly hair girl.
Right.
But I think maybe Jorah's, something's going to happen. She's going to die as a result of Jorah's mistakes or something. I don't know. Maybe that'll be the catalyst to get rid of him. Because they like to kill these side characters left and right all the time.
Because, yeah, I would wonder, too, maybe if they just ditch that entirely, making him a spy, maybe it is something where he's kind of, like, guilted into leaving in a different way.
Or he leaves in next season. They'll just save it for next year.
Maybe. I feel like it's got to be this season, though.
It's got to be, because he's got to meet up with Tyrion.
Right.
And that has to happen, because that'd be really fun to watch. Though, but were you reading the boards?
No.
Regarding Game of Thrones? A lot of people, like, they were saying, who's the worst character to bring to the show? And everybody said, fucking Penny. Everybody was just like, I fucking hate Penny. I haven't even read her chapters, and I fucking hate her.
Oh, gosh.
They were so mean to that midget.
Well, I don't think she's going to be on the show, so I think you're fine.
Well, I don't know. Like, that's kind of a big character. I mean, it's really... Because it sort of forces Tyrion to see what he is. And it sort of... It's a mirror to him, to what he is physically, but also what pain he's caused as a result of his sort of existence. because she loses her brother. They kill her brother thinking it's him because he's a dwarf. So I don't know, there's a lot of turmoil there on the, that would kind of work for the show, because without that turmoil, he's kind of just floating around with having merry adventures with Jorah. So I don't know how they would address that without Penny, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just don't know, because the way that they've dumped characters in the books that people expect to see or would like to see, I wouldn't be surprised if this is another character they just excise completely.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It just, because then at that point, I guess maybe what they would focus on is the other Targaryen.
Right. Yeah.
That would be the crux of that journey with Tyrion, and then he would meet up with Jorah, and that would be that, and he would be heading to Meereen.
Right. Right.
So I guess they could probably do that. I'm sure that's what they're gonna do, because everybody's so fucking mean to Penny.
I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be telling, though, if they keep her or get rid of her. Because I think if they keep her, it shows that she is more important than we know in the books. And if they get rid of her, then it's like, well, yeah, she's as wasteful as you expected her to be. So,
well, then again, I mean, but then again, here's this little reminder.
Okay.
Robb Stark's wife is a nobody.
Right.
In the books. In the show, she's a big character. So that was sort of the reversal there.
Good point. Good point.
And then again, Roz, again, case in point. Roz, pointless character, was in one book, barely. They made her a big character in the first, second, third season, and then she's dead. Just like that. Like, gone. No, you know, she was in, you know, a few episodes here and there. Now she's dead. She's gone for good. And it looks like they're going to kill the bastard Bolton next weekend.
You think
already?
So?
I don't know. They're attacking Deepwood Mott, it looks like.
Right. I just don't see him getting killed.
You think they're going to defeat him and then he runs away and then they have Deepwood Mott and that'll be what they set up for next season?
Yeah, they're not going to kill him.
I don't know. You still got Ramsay Bolton.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't see it. Isn't he holding the Winterfell later in book 5?
He is.
Five? Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Well, he's holding it for his father because his father's somewhere else.
Right, yeah.
So he's just there. But at the same time, it's like they haven't even mentioned, you know, Winterfell yet. I mean, they've mentioned it because Bolton has said he's now the Lord of the North or the Steward of the North.
Yeah.
So he's going to Winterfell, but I don't know. But hopefully this will be closure with Theon this season, if that happens.
It'll never happen. That guy just does not end. And on.
His dick ends.
Evidently, yeah, it's in the trash, I guess. Yeah.
That's in the good old pile of leftover female body parts the dogs ate.
Ugh, gosh, gross.
And
we didn't even talk about Brienne and Pod.
Yeah, it was a nice little short scene. It was funny.
Yeah.
I like the chemistry between those two. I think it's going to be pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, and it was a little bit different setup too than say Arya and the Hound or
other
duos that we've seen. It leans a little more towards comedy, which I like.
So the thing with Brienne, she's the token gopher. Because whatever in the books and in the show, it's basically, okay, Brienne, go off and get this guy. Go off and do this. Just go away. We don't want you to stay here. Just walk. Go walk somewhere.
Well, her whole chapters later is basically just a tour of Westeros.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know there's a war here? Yeah, this is how awful it was. Ugh.
Right. It's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing bearing on the plot of the entire book. It's just basically Brienne is designed to catch up with the band Brothers Without Banners and Lady Stoneheart.
Yeah, I kind of had this thought that the season, like, here's how I'm, like, picturing it. Lysa gets pushed out the moon door.
Yes.
And then Peter tells Arya that now she's like the last... Or not Arya, Sansa.
Sansa.
That she's like the last...
Stark.
Stark or whatever.
Yeah.
And then cut to Arya, who we think, okay, that's not really true because there's Arya. So we see Arya.
Right.
Gets on the boat, and then we see...
Well, it would be the epilogue situation. There'll probably be like a fade to black, and then cut to this random Frey riding his horse, and he gets stopped. And then that's the big reveal of Lady Stoneheart, which would be awesome. I really hope that happens at the end of the season.
If it doesn't, I'll be so disappointed. I mean,
yeah, because really it'll be a missed opportunity if they do not do that.
Yeah,
it would truly be a missed opportunity.
Because that would be one of those scenes where, like...
Guaranteed 12 million people watch next season.
Right, and I'm just thinking, like, you know, when Joffrey died and when Rob died, they had those videos of people's, like, reactions.
Right.
It would be the same thing. It'd be, like, Stoneheart reactions online and everything. And it'd be like...
Oh, yeah. It'd be through the roof. Great.
They'd be like, oh, this is boring. What's this guy? Who's this guy?
Oh, shit! Oh, shit, she's alive! Oh, shit!
Yeah, you'd have people...
Because they've established, like, that you can bring people back to life. So
right, yeah.
I really can't wait. I hope that happens.
Yeah, I can't imagine it not happening.
It's got to. Like, that's got to be, like, the second reason why they would want to make the show. Because I know that they always said the Red Wedding was the major reason to make the series... To get to that point, it's got to be the second reason to make the show to get to this point is Lady Stoneheart.
It has to be.
Because that was such a great ending to that third book. It just so great. And he hasn't talked about it since.
No, just that bit with Brienne, but that's it. I mean, it's pretty light.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big one, too.
Right, and I think... Establishing her first is important. I don't think just setting her up for Brienne is enough.
Yeah, right.
Because I think I've talked about this before, but I think it's important to show that she does kill people. That there's no hesitation.
There you go. Then again, what if they get into the Brienne Lady Stoneheart at the end of this season?
And I was kind of thinking about that. They could do that. It seems a little rushed, but...
Well, I mean... yeah, it does, because what are they going to do for next season?
Well, I think it'd be one of those things where Pod and Brienne wouldn't even be in it for most of it.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they're not going to be in it, because they don't really do anything in the book. They kind of walk around, and they run into this guy named Dick, and he gets brutally murdered.
But really, though, if you can have Bran around for as long as they have, and Theon for as long as they have...
I guess.
To have those two wandering around for no reason for like two seasons would not shock me.
No, you're right. You got to be
like, could be worse.
And by the way, did Lady Lysa know that Sansa Stark was there with her in the books? I don't think she does. I think that's the show creation.
I don't think so either, and it felt kind of shoehorned too, just because it was like, I know who you are. And then she tells her son, this is who she is, but don't tell anybody. It's like,
that's weird. That's kind of bizarre.
It's like, why tell him?
That little shit will tell everybody, like, when he cuts a fart. He's a weirdo.
He will. That's why I mean, is that what they're setting up?
This is my cousin Sansa Stark. Woo! Like, he's a little fucker.
But yeah, I wonder, do you think that's what's going to happen? Like, he will tell people in the show?
I don't know, maybe, but I don't think it matters. I think at the end of the show, I think Peter Baelish, the reason why he's keeping Sansa Stark is to have ownership of the North.
Right.
That's one of his goals. I mean, he'll have the Elry, and he'll have the North.
Right.
And once, I think that's his ultimate plans. That's what he wants to do. That's going to be his goal at the end of the day.
Yeah, and he's a step away from getting the Riverlands, really.
I mean, right. Yeah.
He's not much further from that.
Right.
I'd love to see him win. I mean, if he won, that'd be that'd be incredible.
He would burn this place and rule over its ashes.
As Varys, right?
Yeah, Varys.
Yeah.
oh, well, we've been talking about this bullshit for too long. Let's go get a drink and pour one out to the memory of John Locke. Or Locke.
Just Locke.
Just
not
Locke.
Lost. Not
who's
lost.
John Locke? That's right, it's fucking Lost.
Lost. Oh, please, boo. Richard, please.
Boo. Fuck boo you. Words. Fuck you, Damon Lindelof. Fuck you, Carlton Cruz. Fuck Lost. That's good. That ends.